This message this morning was kind of birthed on vacation. Okay, you're like, oh boy, what are we going to talk about today? But it was birthed on maybe the balcony of my cabin while cruising across the Gulf of Mexico. I began to read the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I think it's good for preachers to read the Sermon on the Mount because probably the best sermon ever preached, okay? Certainly, you can't poke any holes at the preacher because it was Jesus, okay? And it was one of his main, it was like his first main introduction of teaching. And there were some amazing things that he said. And in verse number 13, he kind of focused in on maybe something that caught my attention. So maybe it was the blue water, maybe it was the salt spray and the smell, or maybe it was just the wonderful time and peacefulness of no teenagers that I was responsible for, okay? For those of you that are visitors, I've taught at Franklin High School for the last year and a half, and I am now retired as a teacher. So Caleb, you're a senior now. It's all yours, buddy, okay? And by the way, I used to tease Caleb all the time. You're talking too much. Be quiet, okay? If you don't know Caleb, he is a very meek and mild young man. Doesn't say much, unlike big mouth like me, okay? But I don't know, Chantel put this on Facebook that it was kind of funny that the cruise ship was full of teenagers taking senior trips and all that stuff. And Sister Eloise, I got to tell you, they didn't bother me in the least. You know why? Because I wasn't responsible for them, okay? There was two of them I was responsible for, and they made it back to curfew. They did great. By the way, they had their own room. They had their own room. By the way, parents, when they get old enough, Casey, that's the way you do it, okay? You give them their room. You have your room with mama. It's a good thing, okay? It's a really good thing, okay? But for some reason, Hunter didn't always get it, because every now and then, they'd come bug us. What's up with your godchild, Candy? What's going on with them, okay? But whatever the case was, my message today comes out of Matthew chapter number 5. And I just felt that we needed a reminder on our way to becoming strong and healthy that we need to stay salty. We need to stay salty. Now, guys, I got to tell you that salty today, teenagers, you could attest to this, it kind of has a negative connotation, doesn't it? Okay? If we say somebody's salty, we think they're what? A little arrogant, maybe a little rude. Amber, help me out a little bit. Or Hunter, help me out a little bit. By the way, you got this now? What does salty mean as a teenager? What does the word salty mean? Amber, would you like to help him?
Yeah, like it. You're angry at somebody, but you're not really going to tell them.
Okay. Can anybody relate with that? Okay, teenagers, you understand that? Okay. Now, guys, salty, huh? You bitter? Yep. You mad, bro? You mad, bro? Okay. You're offended. If somebody's salty with you, they're not happy with you. Okay. They're a little upset. A little fâché, little Cajun word right there. Okay. But that's not the connotation Jesus was talking to us in Matthew chapter number 5. Okay. So he wants you and I to be salty. He wants us to. By the way, I'm gonna have to make sure Miss Chantel gets all her seasoning back. Okay. But that wasn't the connotation Jesus was talking about. He doesn't want us to be rude, doesn't want us to be upset, certainly doesn't want us to be offended, but he wants us to be salty. So let's pray and then look to our scriptures in Matthew chapter number 5 and see how you and I being salty can help our church become strong and healthy. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for an opportunity this morning, Lord, to teach your word. And I just pray right now, Lord God, that you would just help me to communicate this simple, simple truth. Lord, sometimes the simple truths are the most profound. I pray today, Lord God, that you would help us to be more like you, to be useful for the kingdom, to be salty. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. Just one verse of scripture today. Some of you would say, hey, that's a good thing. Guys, I got to tell you, a preacher can take one verse and go a long, long ways with it, okay? But I'll try not to be that preacher this morning. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. This is right after the Beatitudes. I do plan sometimes probably this summer to do a little Beatitudes check. It's always good for us as Christians to read through the first several verses of Matthew chapter number 5 because it just reminds us of the characteristics of what a Christ follower should be, okay? So on verse number 13, Jesus says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the salt of the earth. You know, my wife's been teaching on Wednesday nights, and she's been teaching in the book of Ephesians, and she was kind of using the analogy or using the illustration of Paul trying to write this to the church at Berwick. Okay? So he was kind of using that to say, if he was saying it to the Ephesians, he's saying it to us today. Well, I want to say the same thing. Jesus was teaching his early disciples, but I think he's really trying to teach us today as his disciples. You, Lighthouse Community Church, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. I love the Message version of the Bible. It's a paraphrase of the Bible, and it gives us some great color, if you will. It gives us some great illustration, or maybe elaborates a little bit more on what we're talking about. So let's read the Message. It says, "Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning." Now, guys, I don't know about you, but when I think of salt, I really think of Tony's. Anybody like that? Okay. I mean, if you're a real cook in here, you think Tony's, right? Okay. So the King James, that's the salt. The Message, it's Tony's, okay? Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out, look at this, the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Boy, that's good, huh? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Let me read that again. The Message, Matthew 5 and 13. Let me tell you why you're here, friends. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste true godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. You see, guys, it's a real, real simple premise right here, but it has some profound effects, okay? Let's commit today to be a little more salty. Amen? Guys, there's so much to say in this little parable, but the main thrust is this: distinctfulness. Distinctfulness. Distinctiveness means the characteristic that sets something apart. It's our distinctiveness, something that sets us apart. Salt is distinctively different from whatever you put it on. It's distinctively different. By nature and by purpose, it's different. So should you and I be as believers. We are distinctively different by nature and by purpose. By nature, believers are to be a new creation born of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, Brother Casey. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. The old has passed away, Brother Rick. Everything becomes new. We are distinctively different, or at least we should be, by our nature. Okay? But we're also distinctively different by purpose. Our purpose as believers is to penetrate and change the very taste of the earth. Guys, you ever had something to eat and you just needed some of this stuff? Okay? You ever been to your mother-in-law's, Jeremy, and it needed some of this stuff? Okay, actually, it needed to go in the garbage. Now, did I just say that? You know, gotta watch what you say when you got family in the house, okay? But here's the truth. Everybody knows my mother-in-law can't cook. Chad, can my mother-in-law cook? No, okay? Let me tell you a story. Tell you a story one time. I can talk about them because they're not here, okay? Blaine, I got invited over, and I said, hey, we're going to go eat at your mama's? What she's cooking? And so she called up and said, hey, what you cooking? Stew or gumbo? Stew or gumbo? Which is it? I mean, really, okay? So, Sister Josie, if you're cooking, if you're going to cook a stew, you're going to cook a stew, right? If you're going to cook a gumbo, you're going to cook gumbo, and you're going to know the difference, right? So if the cook doesn't know what she's cooking, what should my expectations be? Let me tell you what my expectations were. My expectations were Sonic, okay? My expectations was a bacon cheeseburger before we got there, Jared, okay? Because really, stew, I actually called it a stewbo, okay? Chantel wouldn't let me eat because we'd already committed to it. So she was like, you can eat it. You can handle it. Okay. It was actually pretty tasty. I got to give it up to mother-in-law. But here's the thing. Make up your mind. Is it stew or is it gumbo? There is no stewbo. Okay. Sister Valley, you ever cook stewbo? No. If it's a stew, we know it. If it's a gumbo, we know it. The difference is 3 cups of water. Come on, somebody. Okay. But look, we've all had things to eat sometimes and we're like, pass the salt, please, okay? Or pass the Tony's. It just makes things taste better, right? It just makes everything better. That's the characteristic for believers. Guys, we're supposed to make everything better. We're supposed to change our surroundings. We are supposed to penetrate and change the very taste of the earth. We're supposed to be salty. Amen? So the disciples' character is supposed to be like salt. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Believers are called and designed to be the salt of the earth. So there's a bunch of things that can be said about salt. Let's look at that. Number one, salt is distinctive. Salt is distinctive. It is totally different from the food or the object upon which it is put. The power of salt lies in this difference. Believers, just like salt, are to be different from the world. Can I get an amen? The power of our lives and our testimony lies in our being different and distinct. We are to be different. Amen? Look what Paul says to Romans in Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Paul continues in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not that unclean thing. And I will receive you, and you will be a father unto me. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. James said it this way in chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Guys, we're supposed to be different. Amen? We're supposed to be different. Now, does that mean that we look entirely different? No. Okay? Different doesn't have anything to do with your hairdo. Some of you that don't have any hair are like, whew. Hallelujah. Okay? It doesn't have anything to do with exactly what you dress. Now, it has a little something to do with how you dress. Okay? You know, you got to make sure that we dress with modesty. Okay? We got to make sure we take care of those things. But guys, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different in the way we talk, in the way we act, in the way we think. We're supposed to be different. And if we're not different, we're not being salty enough. We're not being the very thing that we were created to be. Amen? You see, guys, today across the Assemblies of God is a day we call Pentecost Sunday. It's a day that we celebrate the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is what we call our distinctive doctrine. It is the one thing that we hang our hat on that we believe sets us apart from so many other movements, fellowships, or denominations. It is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Guys, I've got to tell you that if you're having problems being salty, let the Holy Ghost help you. Amen? I don't know about you, but before the Holy Spirit came into my life, Mo Seneca had a whole lot of problems, okay? Mo Seneca said a whole lot of things he shouldn't say. He did a whole lot of things he shouldn't do. But when I came under the lordship of the Holy Spirit in my life, Brother Rick, it changed the way I talk. It changed the way I acted. The things that I used to say, I didn't say anymore. Art, the things I used to do, I didn't do anymore. Why? Because the Holy Spirit would say no. Guys, if we're struggling being salty enough, ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help you. The Bible calls him a comforter for a reason. He's there to comfort you. He's there to help you. Casey, when everything's going wrong at work, say, Lord, I could sure use a little help. A little less rain wouldn't hurt either. Okay? But we need to know who to ask for help. The Holy Ghost loves to help. Just ask him. Amen? If we're going to be salty, and we should, the main characteristic of salt is its distinctiveness, how it's supposed to be different from everything else. The Holy Spirit will help you be different. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be salty. Okay? So another characteristic about salt, number two, it preserves. Salt not only is distinctive, but it also preserves. It keeps things from going bad and decaying. You know, back in the day before refrigeration, how they used to keep meat fresh? They'd salt it, right? Or sometimes, I'm a big history buff, and I've been reading a lot of stories on Civil War times and different times like that, and they used to salt meat, put it in a brine solution to kind of keep it keep it fresh, okay, or as fresh as you can keep it. It keeps things from going bad. It keeps things from decaying. It cleanses and disinfects. Believers, just as salt, are to cleanse and preserve the world. We are to disinfect the world and keep the germs of this world from causing things to go bad. We are to save the world from corruption. You know, one thing we noticed when we went on our cruise, and some of you that have ever maybe gone deep sea fishing, going out from the bay into the Gulf, you've noticed this. You notice when the water goes from brown to blue? It's kind of cool, huh? Okay, and I remember when we were driving, we were coming back in, earlier that afternoon, beautiful blue water, and then we got back into Mississippi. And there's a reason they call it the muddy Mississippi. We went from the beautiful blue, clean salt water to what? The brown Mississippi fresh water. Okay? It don't look very fresh, does it? But to see the difference between the clarity of the blue water and the murkiness of the Mississippi was astounding. But the main difference is what's in that water. What's in that water? What's in that salt water that makes it clear is salt. It's what purifies it. It's what makes it clean. It's what clears up the matter. Salt preserves. Salt also saves. Guys, do you realize that you might be the only Bible that somebody ever reads? You know, guys, you've got friends, you've got family members, you invite them to church, they always got a good reason not to come. They always got some excuse, okay? But sometimes, guys, they're just watching your life. Brother Bernie, Sister Annalie, there's been folks been watching your life for years and years and years. The good news is I like what they're reading, okay? They're reading good things. They're seeing, Sister Valley, that you serve a real God. They see that you're doing things the right way. They see that you're salty, amen? And that's what we're supposed to be. Salt preserves, it saves. You might be your friend's only hope. A third characteristic of salt is it penetrates. It inserts a new quality or substance into life. It changes that upon which it is put. Believers are likewise to penetrate the world and insert new life into it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. The old stuff has passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, and after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a new man that we're supposed to put on that comes from Christ Jesus. Guys, we are supposed to penetrate the world. We're supposed to make a difference in the world. So how do we do it, preacher? Let me tell you what the greatest weapon for you and I as a Christian is. Love. It's the greatest weapon we have. Guys, can we debate and change somebody's mind? Sometimes, but usually not. You go to debate and you'll just start a fight, okay? But if you just love people, you just love people like Jesus loves people. You love them unconditionally. You just love them. And you keep loving them. What do you do when they're unlovable? You love them some more. Okay? What do you do when they want to fight? You love them. What do you do when they want to fuss? You love them. What do you do when they just scream? Tracy, you love them some more. Okay? Guys, it's the one weapon that we have that changes everything. You see, guys, it's easy to love people that love you, isn't it? Belinda, it's easy to love folks that love you, right? But how about folks that don't like you so much? I know there's nobody that doesn't like you, okay? But people like me realize there's people that don't like me. I know that just shocked you. Some of you are like, wow, Pastor, somebody actually doesn't like you? Yeah, okay? But guess what I do? Sister Valley, I just love them. I love them. I speak good things about them. If I can't speak good things about them, I just don't say nothing about them, okay? Remember what Mama used to say, if you ain't got nothing good to say, what? Don't say nothing at all. Some of you need to take that to heart, okay? But here's the deal. Salt penetrates. It changes its surroundings. Love will help you change your surroundings. Somebody needed to hear that. Somebody at work, you've been struggling. You've been trying to figure out, man, how can I get that breakthrough at work? How can I make things different at work? Try love. Try love. That's the one four-letter word that will change your workplace. How many are used to hearing four-letter words at your workplace? Okay, I used to hear them at Franklin High. Okay, used to hear them all the time. But let's try that other four-letter word of love. It'll change everything. Amen? Salt penetrates. So not only does salt do that, it also flavors. Point number four, salt flavors. It influences the taste of things. It takes a bland, tasteless food. It takes Chad mother-in-law's stuff, and it makes it halfway enjoyable, okay? Believers are to flavor and influence the world for Jesus. They are to take the bland and the tasteless and salt them, making them enjoyable and desirable within the world. Guys, we are supposed to change our surroundings. How do we do that? By showing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's how we're supposed to flavor our surroundings. We're supposed to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be fruitful, to help us to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, which is all those things I mentioned and so much more. But salt flavors. It takes something that's bland. Guys, this little Tony Sachery's or that box of salt, it can take some stuff that don't taste so good and make it taste pretty good. So guys, you and I, in the same way, we can take a situation that on the surface, Michael, doesn't taste so good, doesn't look so good, but God is able to take those things and get glory from it. God is able to put you in situations and receive glory from it if we'll be salty. Guys, I got to be honest with you. I think we've all had situations where there have been times that we've been like this big old box of salt. And then there's been times we've been not so salty. In fact, we've been salty in the world's definition of things. Amen? But would to God that we realize that God has put us in some places to change those situations, to bring salt, to bring flavor, to bring the best out of a bad situation. Only God can do that kind of stuff. Amen? And he wants to use you and I to do it. And we have to be salty if we're going to pull it off. So not only does salt flavor, but salt, oh, this is, it kind of convicts me a little bit. Salt is quiet. Salt is quiet. It's visible, but it works silently. It makes no noise whatsoever doing its work. Believers, the salt of the earth are to work quietly and discreetly. Now, guys, that's kind of tough for us preachers. It's kind of tough for you Cajuns, right? Well, how tough you think it is for me? I'm a Cajun preacher. Okay, it is hard sometimes for us to work quietly. It's hard sometimes for us to just trust God and work behind the scenes, Tracy, and just do what we're supposed to do. But that's what salt does. Salt doesn't toot its own horn. Salt just knows that it's going to accomplish what it was meant to accomplish. Guys, we need to realize that God is using us like salt in this world. And if we'll just quietly be patient and trust him, he will use us to make a difference. He'll use us, and before you know it, we're strong and healthy again. Before we know it, he's used us to do exceedingly, abundantly more. Amen? Let me read you a letter from a quiet, meek, and mild person who happens to be pretty doggone salty. She is one of our missionaries in our state. She's a missionary to the deaf and senior saints. Her name is Dorothy Scott. Some of you may have heard of Sister Dorothy. Now, she's one of the quietest ladies I've ever met, but she's also one of the greatest soul winners I've ever met. Here's a little letter that she writes to us. She says, "Dear friends, these are exciting days to be in the work of the Lord. God is moving by his Spirit, and we must give him the glory for what he is doing. Thank you so much to each of you who pray for me, for every church and individual who gives monthly. You are helping me minister to these precious seniors in nursing homes. Recently, one of these precious seniors went to be with the Lord, and three precious seniors accepted Jesus this past month. What a joy and privilege to lead them to our Savior as they're facing their final days. Again, my thanks and prayers are that our wonderful Lord will continue to minister to each of you and through you until he returns." Here's the amazing thing about Sister Dorothy. She just quietly goes about doing ministry. She goes to nursing homes today, and how many folks, that's not a real place you want to go. It's not a place we think about God bringing life to. It's a place of death. It's a place of, I don't know about you, but those smells at nursing homes, you can have them, okay? I've already made my boys make me a promise. Don't you ever put me in a home. Don't you do it, okay? Don't, Hayden, don't you do it, okay? I don't like those places. But this is a place that this lady is bringing life to. This is a place that this little sweet lady is bringing salt to. She's changing it. You know, I asked her one time, I said, Sister Dorothy, how do you do what you do? Here's what she told me. She said, I just do what he tells me to do. Wow, this sweet lady is over 90 years old now. She's beaten cancer so many times we can't even count, okay? She just does what God tells her to do. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but we could probably learn a lesson from that sweet little lady, right? Casey, let's just do what God tells us to do. Doesn't hurt if you do what Tammy tells you to do either, okay? That's for this afternoon. That's the marriage lesson, okay? Do what the wife tells you to do, but you know what? Always do what God tells you to do. Amen? So salt is quiet. Salt also spreads. Its flavor spreads all about. A sprinkle of salt has a widespread effect. A believer's salt spreads far and wide. Boy, it's kind of amazing. Just a little pinch of salt is all it takes sometimes, huh? You ever put too much salt in a dish? Ew, that ain't good, right? It spreads. Just a little bit will do you. Guys, that's what faith is like. Faith is like salt. Just a little bit. It's all you need. Salt spreads. Salt also does more. Once applied, it cannot be stopped. A believer's salt, his testimony, cannot be stopped. When you start being salty, when you start being used by God, there is no end to that. Isaiah said it this way in chapter 55. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth the bud, it may bring seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it. God's word will not return void. When you step out in faith and do what God tells you to do, just like Sister Dorothy does every day with these senior saints, God will use you. Amen? So those are the characteristics of salt. Now, where are we supposed to use this salt? Where is this salt supposed to be spread out? Our ministry, our place of ministry is right here on the earth. The world is the place where believers are to move about and salt. Live and minister. Why? Because the world is bland and tasteless. The world is decaying and rotting. The world is corrupt. Too many believers live as though they've already made it to heaven, safe and secure from all harm. They do not pay enough attention to this earth, its needs, its turning bad, its decay, its corruption. While on this earth, believers are called to salt and flavor the earth. Have you ever wondered sometimes, why, when we get saved, God just doesn't take us out of here? Well, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice the moment you get saved that you just go to heaven? You kind of catch that Elijah train out of here. Pretty cool stuff, huh? You ever wondered that, Jared? Why we just don't go out of here? Well, I thought about that one time, and you realize there's only two things that you can do here on earth that you can't do in heaven. Think about it. What are those two things, Jeremy? Number one, sin. And number two is witness to unbelievers. Which one of those two things are reason enough for God to keep you here? Yeah, pretty much. That's a pretty easy one, right? That's a no-brainer. That's a question we can all get, right? God doesn't want to leave you on this earth to act a fool, to mess up. But he wants to leave you here to be the salt of the earth. He wants to leave you here, and he does so that we can make difference in people's lives. Amen? Guys, you never know how much of a difference you're really making. Blaine, you never know how many people you've spoken to their life. Just last night, we went to a little missions banquet, and I met somebody that we hadn't seen in like 10 years, Sean. It was somebody from New Iberia that had come there, and he was telling us about being at a camp long, long time ago. He had a little 7-year-old boy at camp. That kid is helping lead worship this year at youth camp. And he was just going on and on about how that camp is such an amazing thing. And I just thanked him for giving us a little bit of part of having a part in his young man's life. Guys, that's the power of salt. You never know the difference you're making. You never know how far it can go, how good it can get. We just have to commit to do what God has called us to do. Amen? So what's our mission? The disciples' mission is to salt the earth. Believers are to be the salt of the earth. We can penetrate, flavor, and preserve the earth. But two things are necessary before a person can salt the earth. Number one, you must have salt yourself. As the black preacher used to say, you can't give what you ain't got. Amen? That ain't real good grammar, but it's real good preaching. You can't give what you ain't got. Amen? You've got to have something to give. You've got to have that saltiness. You've got to have that distinctiveness that comes only from the Holy Ghost to give it to others. Jesus said in Matthew 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will it be good? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. In addition, believers must spread out into the world. But one thing must be known when a believer scatters into the world. His salt is necessary and useful. There is no salt other than what the believers have. There is nothing else that can salt the earth. Nothing whatsoever. God does not have a plan B. We are his only plan to salt the earth. We are his only plan to reach out in this community. Guys, God's calling us to reach Berwick. God is calling us to reach this community. God is calling Lighthouse Community Church to make a difference in this community, and he doesn't have a backup plan. Amen? He's giving us an opportunity like no other. Now go and be salty. Finally, there's a warning in verse number 13. There's a warning and there's a danger to the disciple who chooses not to be salty. See, the danger of the disciple is that of becoming useless and destructive. Salt does not lose its saltiness and flavor. It's one of the most stable elements there is, okay? I did a little study on that. It's so stable. So it doesn't really lose its saltiness, but look what happens. In the time of Christ, the salt of Palestine was gathered in such a manner that dirt and other impurities were often mixed with it. The salt was thus useless and good for nothing. In fact, it actually destroyed the fertility of the soil. Therefore, it was not only useless, but it was destructive. So what they did with it is they cast it on roads, and that way grass wouldn't grow. Maybe we ought to try some salt in our parking lot. Okay, but grass wouldn't grow, and men would walk under. That's why Jesus said it's good for nothing. It'll end up in the garbage, or it'll just end up under men's feet. You see, guys, the picture here is of a backslider, a believer who loses his flavor and saltiness or testimony. Three things can be said about that backslider. He becomes useless, just as the salt that becomes dirty and useless does. He has no value. He might as well be cast out and trodden underfoot. He actually destroys the fertility of some in the world by becoming a stumbling block. How many have had friends that have walked away from the Lord and it hurt your faith? It challenged your faith. We've been there, right? We've seen people that once said one thing and ended up doing something else. And it changes things. It hurts the kingdom. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. There's also the warning, if the believer's salt loses its flavor, the believer will experience the judgment of God. Guys, you don't hear a lot about that in the church today. We need to realize that God is serious about us being salty. God is serious about us being committed to the kingdom of God. So what kind of judgment comes from God? The Bible says he'll be cast out. Look at our text, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, what good will it be? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of man. It's possible to become a castaway. Paul addressed this in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but if Paul the Apostle, Brother Jesse, was worried about being a castaway, I think I ought to keep it in my mind, too. Ought to make sure that I do my things right. Right, Blaine? If Paul thought there was some concern of him being cast away, whew, I better make sure, Jeremy, I keep my eyes open. Right? Guys, it's for all of us. And then finally, we can experience loss when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. You know, guys, every one of us one day are going to stand before Jesus. Amen? I live my life with this in mind, that one day I need to stand before Jesus, and there's only two words that I'm looking to hear, Sister Lorraine. And you know what they are? Well done. Well done. I don't want him to say, Sister Eloise, well, you're done. No. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now come on up here. come on into the kingdom. Come on up here and spend some time at the place that you've earned. Okay? Guys, we need to live our lives keeping in mind that God wants us to be salty. God wants us to be useful for the kingdom of God. And if we're going to become strong and healthy as a church, it's going to require that you and I as believers get more salty. That you and I as believers realize that God has us for a purpose. That God wants to use us to change our surroundings. Just like salt can change a dish and can make it wonderful, God can use us to change a situation, to change a community, to change a church, and make it useful again as well. Amen?